We're going to just have a blast this summer. Last year was so much fun because we, you know, we just went on a big artifact hunt last year. And we're also trying to figure out what this building is, but we are just recovering amazing, amazing stuff. And so one of the people that's sort of missing from the archaeology as an individual is Augustine Washington. He's only on the site for about 5 years before he dies.
Okay.
And so it's hard to find his artifacts. And we found these pipe stem fragments that have symbols on them. And the symbols are from a London guild that started in the 12th century. And they're the Ironmongers Guild. And they are people who sell ironworks. And a guild was started to sort of make sure the standards were right, and there wasn't, you know, that there weren't competitors, and it was very advantageous. And by the 18th century, the guild is more of a social thing. It's a place where, you know, if you want to make connections, you go there. So anyway, the guild didn't know that they had pipes when we reached out to them. That at one point they had these decorative pipes with their crest on it, and their crest has two salamanders on top of a knight's helmet on top of a crest.
Okay.
It is full on, and it's great because not everybody in the 18th century England knows what a salamander looks like, and so sometimes they look like dogs.
Yeah.
Right, because they don't, like, I've never seen a salamander, I gotta make this thing. So the pipe, we've got like 26 pipes fragments that have these symbols on them, and it's like Ironmongers Guild. Well, Augustine Washington does the iron ore furnace. He's not in that guild, but he knows people that are in that guild, and somebody has gifted him these decorative pipes. And so we said, well, this, we never heard of these things before. So we started Google them, and it turns out Mount Vernon has some too, where Augustine Washington also lived. And then we called up to the birthplace and had them look, and they have them too. And so the only three sites that we can find that have these pipes are associated with Augustine Washington.
See, you become detectives here.
Yeah, and no, it's full on. And so lots of new low-hanging fruit for us. And yeah. So we're gonna have a lot to say in the next couple of years.
So I guess to find those that would lead you to believe that there'll be some other things that you find that could be connected to him.
Without a doubt. The other thing is, just the sheer quantity and the size of the stuff that we're finding. We're just, it's a big collection, and it's in great shape, even though it's been through a terrible fire.
I can just tell by your voice, though, that there is really excitement about this year's dig.
Yeah, there was multiple times last year where one of our archaeologists would come down the hallway after checking in artifacts and say, look at this big chunk of crock they found. And it is just like huge artifacts that are coming out of the ground, and just so exciting. And just to see like what the fire did to them, and just the sheer quantity, like that room that they check artifacts in was just full to the brim of these giant artifacts and these giant pieces of architectural matter coming out of the ground. It's for a non-archaeologist myself, I'm excited about what's coming out of this dig.
And it's reminiscent of when we dug the house. There's so much stuff in and around this building, and it's going to, you know, lots of architectural elements to give us clues as to what it was. And slowly but surely, we're figuring this thing out. It's got a lot of things that make architectural historians sort of scratch their head. And that makes us scratch our heads. And so we've been slowly all year long trying to solve all these little puzzles. And so that, you know, everything, it becomes just a straightforward story.
It's got to be exciting to find, like as Allison described, something that's bigger, because so often you're dealing with just little tiny fragments.
Very farm. I mean, when you put five farms on top of each other, then it crushes the artifacts. It makes them small. And so we are renowned for our small, tiny artifacts. And so this is a different case for us. We're going to get a lot of whole vessels, and they're going to be in big pieces when we put them together. And you can already see, you know, you see people sticking things together, even in the washroom. They're like, wow. They're not waiting for the, you know, for everything to get together. They go, this goes together, and this goes here, and this goes there, and you got this huge vessel sitting in front of you.
So the dig starts in May and goes through the summer, and usually have students from some from VCU, some from Florida even.
University of South Florida is coming this year, and VCU has moved on. They work on a site that's west of here and do a great job. I love those students, but University of South Florida, they're public history students, and you'd think Florida they would be super hardy, but they don't go outside in Florida evidently, and so it's a real shock for them to come outside and work in the Virginia heat.
Yeah, and the humidity and everything.
And the humidity, and so but they're very gung-ho and great students, and we look forward to having them every year.
Is this your last year at the site you're on now, and then you'll move on, or it depends what you find, if there's still things to be found?
We tried to finish last year, but if you remember last year,
it rained
all spring, and so we did not finish. We will finish this building this year, and then we have another place that we started to look at. Looks like could be another building, and then if we wanted to push north, we could go and find orchards and gardens and all kind of stuff over there. So there's always a lot more to do in the archaeology world at Ferry Farm.
This particular building, when you're done, will you then rebuild the building?
I think, you know, if we can sort of make it, if we can sort of resolve some of the questions about it, how old it is, what did it belong to the Washingtons, which I think we've done. Sort of figure out its function 100%, then yes, it goes back on the landscape.
Fascinating stuff. Can't wait to see what you start finding, because I know, when you started to find things a couple of years ago, it was a little bit of a surprise at just the volume of what was there.
So I envisioned like Pompeii, where everything would be in place, and then that's a terrible comparison. I should have said it's like a tornado
site, yeah,
because people go through and sort of pick through stuff. So somebody after the building burned, people went through it and picked through stuff that they wanted and pulled it out. But everything else is pretty much, anything they didn't want is still there.
Well, what you've been able to find, and then how you've been able to date it and figure out, you know, where it fits in. It's amazing to me, and shows that you are able to, even if you don't have a diary where someone says this is what they did, you can tell some stories based on just little small fragments even.
So I started digging about 40 years ago, and when I started, there was none of that. I went to a conference, and this guy got up and he said, "We should dig for 100 years and not say anything about what we're finding," because it was very difficult for them to say stuff. The field has grown up in the last 40 years and has gotten really good at sort of unraveling mysteries and talking about, you know, when there was a book that came out in the 80s about gender, and it was like, it rocked my world. It was like, I have to have a new category. And archaeology got it immediately. And so they learned by sort of talking the language the first time, but they had no examples they could think of. There was no artifact examples that would help them. 5 years later, gender studies is a major component of, and tons of archaeological examples. The field is really good. Once they figure out they want something, they just go and find it.
And, you know, without archaeology and without the interpretation of it, Ferry Farm as it is right now would not exist, because Kenmore is so rich in its document collection.
Yeah.
We have so many documents that tell us a little bit more about Fielding and Betty and their lives at Kenmore, but Ferry Farm's document collection is quite slim comparatively. So, you know, we have Augustine Washington's probate, which helped us furnish the home, but without the archaeological evidence that, you know, Dave and his team have found over the past 20 years, we wouldn't have the site that we have today. So being able to tell the stories and unravel those mysteries through architectural debris and all of those kind of artifacts is how we have Ferry Farm now.
You talk about Mary Washington, because I know a few years ago when you would find, I think it was on cups or something, where it something had been glued. You were able to
Right.
You know, that she was very, you know, had some ingenuity and tried to, you know, was
right.
Tried to save money.
So hard economic times call for drastic action.
Yeah.
And one of the things she was doing was when they would break something nice, they would glue it back together and repurpose it by just making it into a display item.
So,
and so, because the glue doesn't actually hold water. So if you're putting a bowl back together, it doesn't have a function anymore. Or it doesn't function like it originally functioned.
Yeah.
So you have to reconceptualize it. And that's what she was doing.